So I have a really long title for this message because I just couldn't decide on which title. So I just put them all. And it's called From Possessed to Obsessed, A Woman Transformed, Conformed, Informed, and Adorned in Jesus. There's so much. I'm like, I just can't cut this out. I'm just putting it all. So that's what I did. This time in my life, I'm going to give you like a little quick testimony, I guess, of my heart in my introduction here. But this time in my life has been a season of lasts for me. And have you ever gone through a season of lasts where it's the last time this is going to happen? And I'm really sentimental and I'm sappy and I'm all feely and emotional sometimes. And I get wrapped up in moments. I do. I guess that's the girl in me, but I get very wrapped up in moments. And so right now, I'm on my last kid about to graduate high school. And so I have all the feels. I'm just like, oh my goodness. And something that kids don't realize is that everything they go through or they're doing, you're on that ride along with them. And you're maybe not experiencing it the way they are, but you're like, you're in. You're 100% committed. And when their heart hurts, your heart hurts. When they're disappointed, you're disappointed. When they're in tears, you're in tears. And your heart is like a roller coaster, and it's pittering, it's pattering, it's pausing, it's doing all sorts of things. And sometimes I think for us as parents, we've really tried to teach them independence, and we've tried to teach them to grow and to depend on the Lord. And I'm sure we've been unsuccessful on many of those things, but I trust in the grace of God in that. But as I pause to think of these this last kid in high school and this last graduation of one of my kids, I really started to feel a little bit sad. And I said to the Lord this week, oh Lord, will you please rewind the clock? And then I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? What am I asking the Lord whenever I have preached to you and to myself so many times to be present? We're here, we're now, we're where God wants us to be. Why would I want to go back to a different season when the Lord so faithfully brought me out of that season into the season I'm in now? And it's a good thing. And I'm here now for a reason, and you're here now for a reason. For such a time as this, right? For such a time as this. And this week, I find myself providentially teaching on Mary Magdalene, and there's so much to learn from her, and it's by no mistake that I get this privilege. And I thought, like, Lord, how am I going to even put two words together? I'm kind of an emotional wreck right now, but the Lord is faithful, and the thing that he showed me mainly, and I will eventually get onto my message, but that this Mary of Magdalene, she followed Jesus faithfully from beginning to end. We got to watch her story unfold, and that's what I want my story to be tonight. And so I read, I prayed, I studied, I listened to commentaries, and I found myself in doing that just changing my perspective, right? And don't you do that? Don't you get there sometimes where you're like, I don't understand. I don't know why I'm here right now, or this is a difficult situation. And you go and you sit down with your journal and with your Bible and with a pen, and the Lord faithfully shows up every single time, doesn't he? Do you ever just feel like you're like, oh, climbing out of bed, and you're like, I need to do my devotions, and I can't get out because I'm carrying this like big old, like, I don't know, the Incredible Hulk is on my shoulders, and I'm trying to get just from my bed to the couch so I could just sit there with my Bible and my pen and my journal and just be like, all right, Lord, I got nothing. But he never says that. He never says he's got nothing for you. He's got everything for you, and he faithfully shows up time and time again, and it's never disappointing. And I'm so grateful that the Lord's distraction is never, he's never distracted from his children. He's so unlike us, right? His brain is not like the ping pong match that goes on inside my brain. His distraction level is non-existent, and he is laser focused on his daughters and his sons. He's laser focused on his children. That's like, when you sit down with the Lord, like, he's all in, 100% in. And there's nobody like that. We are just not able to be like that. And that's who our Lord is. And so tonight, as we study this Mary of Magdala, this woman who was possessed by 7 demons, and we watch her transform by Jesus, don't we? And this led her, this transformation led her to this obsessive following of Jesus. And I love that word because sometimes we use it so negatively, but her obsession was on Jesus. And I want to be obsessed with Jesus. If we're going to be obsessed with something, let it be Jesus, right? Or do it. Don't let it be. Just do it. Be obsessed with Jesus. Be laser focused on him as he is on us. And because of that obsession, she was transformed, she was conformed, and she was informed by his plan. And I feel so much like Ben Carson right now with all these rhymes. I don't know if you know who he is, but that's such a Ben Carson thing to say. And because of those things, she was adorned in his likeness. And you, ladies, so many of you are adorned in his likeness. You know, I watch you go through trials with each other and care for one another. And you know, when you do that, you're adorned in his likeness. That's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to look like Jesus. And don't you love those people in your life that look like Jesus, that just care for you like he does? And that's how so many of you are. So tonight, as we wrestle the season's problems with possible distracted and burdened hearts, I would ask you and me alike if there's anything possessing us that we need to be free from tonight, so that then we can be rid of that and be obsessed with the Lord. And obviously, we know we can't, as children of God, be demon-possessed, but we sure can be oppressed, right? We sure can be bullied by evil, can't we? Haven't you guys been bullied by evil? I know I have. We can be often possessed with worries and anxieties and fears. And I think tonight that the Lord wants us to surrender those things to him. I think he wants to rid us of that so that we can have the freedom to keep our obsession on him. And then we can be adorned in his likeness. So turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31, where we're going to get our scripture from tonight. We are doing 25b and 20 through 26, and these are honestly all of Proverbs 31 is my favorite, but I think this is my very favorite of my favorite. And it says, "She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." And so 3 things have been in my heart in regards to these passages. And the first one is she's heavenly minded. And the second is she's careful with her words. And the third, she's wise and kind. And that's the outline tonight. So we get to experience in this proverb first Bathsheba's transforming experience, and then we're going to contrast that with Mary Magdalene. Possessed means owning or being mastered by something. It means completely controlled. And then obsessed means a persistent idea, a preoccupation, or a compelling motivation. And then oppressed means to press down, to cause to sink, or to be excessively burdened. So Mary, the name Mary means Mara, and that means bitter. You probably know that. But can you imagine the bitterness that overwhelmed this woman? Can you imagine when she was possessed with 7 demons, the bitterness that must have overwhelmed her, the anguish, the fear, the anxiety that was overwhelming her when she was possessed with those 7 demons? She was from Magdala, and Magdala was a fishing city just west of the Sea of Galilee. And so they call her in the Bible Mary Magdalene, because Magdalene was a description of where she was from, and it was used to differentiate her because you see she was with many Marys. It's a very popular name, and so that's how we know who Mary Magdalene is. She was Mary from Magdala, and Magdala means a tower. It means a tower. That's all it means. And how she must have known the scripture in Psalm 61:3-4, after she was set free from those demons, it says, "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." And I can picture Mary Magdalene with those exact thoughts, as she stayed so close to Jesus. So the first point, she's heavenly minded. And again, it says she will rejoice in time to come. So again, she was possessed by seven demons. And before we meet Mary Magdalene in Luke 8, in Luke 7, it says Jesus had been at a Pharisee's home to eat, where a woman, not Mary Magdalene, but a woman came in, and she had poured expensive oil on the feet of Jesus, anointing his feet, right? And then she was crying, she was weeping, and she was drying his feet with the tears and the hair from her head, because he had forgiven her of many sins. And then right after that, we get to meet Mary Magdalene. And in Luke 8:1-3, it says, "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance." So we don't really get much of a history of Mary Magdalene. We just know that she was from Magdala, and she was healed of seven demons. And then we know something very important. This healing caused her to immediately follow and serve Jesus. And I like that. She traveled with these other women and these disciples, and she provided for Jesus and the disciples through serving them. And with her substance, it tells us. So what must it have been like for her to be freed from seven demons? What would it be like to be overcome by seven demons and then freed from seven demons? And I want you to think back for a moment, as I did, on your own salvation. And maybe you weren't demon possessed, or maybe you were, but think back just for a moment on your own salvation. And I personally got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. I think I was about 10 years old. And I got from my counselor right after that this little note that she hand wrote me, and it said, "For God so loved Kim that he gave his only begotten son for Kim, that Kim will not perish but have eternal life." And that making it so personal was so effective for me. Like, still now, like, I get choked up thinking about it now, but I kept that hanging on my wall in my bedroom for like 12 years until I moved out, until I got married and moved out. And I remember often in troubles and tears looking up and reading those words and remembering what I was freed from. And that is what something that's so important for us to do often is to take a look back, not to stay there, but look back what you are freed from. And when you do that, it makes you so grateful. Doesn't it? It reminds you of how faithful the Lord is. So she was freed. I read of a story of a man, his name was Thomas, and he was in Africa, and he was a man who loved God and loved people. This just sounds like a great man, and I want to meet him too. But his neighbor on the other man, this is a true story, he hated God and he hated God's people. And so the neighbor at nighttime would sneak out of his hut and set Thomas's roof on fire of his hut because he hated God. And so it would endanger Thomas and endanger his family. So Thomas would go out and he would rush and put out the fire without saying anything to his neighbor, anything bad or anything like that. And through this, it showed this man like love and forgiveness, but it made the hatred of this man grow. He hated Thomas for it. So one night, this neighbor that came over and set his house, his roof of the hut on fire, but there was a strong wind. And the wind blew, and as Thomas was putting out the fire on his own hut, he looked over, and the fire had jumped to his neighbor, the one who set, who, you know, was the arson. And so he ran over and started putting the fire out of the neighbor's house as well. And he was doing it with his hands. And as he did it, his hands were burned very, very badly. And so he didn't say anything personally, but the neighbors knew what had been going on. And so the neighbors reported this man to their chief, and he was arrested and imprisoned. And it broke Thomas's heart. And Thomas was at a meeting where Corrie ten Boom was, and Corrie ten Boom was there preaching the gospel in Africa, and she had seen Thomas, and so Thomas went up to her after she preached, and she said, "What happened to your hands?" And he told her this story, and she prayed with him, and when they prayed together, he dropped to his knees and he lifted up his hands to the heavens, and his prayer was, "Lord, I claim this neighbor of mine to you. Lord, give him his freedom and do the miracle that in the future he and I will become a team to bring the gospel to our tribe. Amen." And so 2 days later, Corrie ten Boom got an offer to go preach in the prison, and guess who was there? Thomas's neighbor. And guess who was the first to stand up to receive salvation? Thomas's neighbor. And so when she went back and told Thomas what happened, Thomas's response was, "We can never expect too much from him," meaning Jesus. And she later said this, Corrie ten Boom said, "You never touch so much the ocean of God's love as when you love your enemies." Isn't that beautiful? So Mary Magdalene had a front row to the miraculous transforming love of Jesus. And the freedom of that love compelled her to love, to follow, and to serve him with no regard whatsoever of the cost. And that's what her life was about. To that sinful woman that we spoke earlier about in Luke 7:47 in the Pharisee's house, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And to the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus said this in John 4:10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Again, Mary Magdalene was there from start to finish on the ministry of Jesus. And here's 12 things that, because she was there, she got to witness. Number one is she followed him faithfully. She served him practically and humbly. Number two, she watched as he was betrayed. Number three, she watched as he was beaten, bruised, stripped, nailed, hung, and crucified. Number four, she watched him give his life for the sins of her and the world. Number five is she saw him placed in the tomb. Number six, she watched the stone rolled in front of it. Number seven, she experienced Saturday, the Sabbath, with mourning, grief, and a desire to care for his body by anointing it with the oils properly for burial. And I've always wondered on Saturday in between Friday and Sunday what that must have been like. Number eight, she showed up early on Sunday morning and discovered the stone rolled away. Number nine, she had the angels speak to her and the women with her. Number 10, she heard the voice of Jesus before anyone else. Number 11, she was the first to tell the disciples that he is risen. And number 12 is she worshiped the risen Lord at his feet on his way into Galilee. Just because she was there, because she served him faithfully. So that's my next point, is Mary Magdalene served. And the biggest compliment as a Christian that we can be given is, you're so different now. Isn't that the biggest compliment you can be given? You're so different now. C.H. Spurgeon said this, "There, poor sinner, take my garment and put it on. You shall stand before God as if you were Christ, and I will stand before God as if I had been the sinner. I will suffer in the sinner's stead, and you shall be rewarded for works that you did not do, but which I did for you." Again, I'm going to read Luke 8, 2 through 3 again. And a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. I think it's important for us to keep reading that. And understanding this grace compels us to serve when we understand that grace we're compelled to serve. Serve means to work, to perform duties, and to present an offering. That's what it means to serve. And that is such practical wisdom for us ladies tonight, isn't it? It's to serve is to work, to perform duties, to present an offering. Such practical wisdom there. He delivered her from the seven demons that bound her, and she served him with exactly what she had, and that's all the Lord asks of us. What do you have? Serve me with that. That's it, right? Is there anything you're withholding tonight from your Savior? When we listen to this, is there anything you're withholding? Is there something that you have that you're not willing to serve him with? That's something we each need to ask ourselves. Number one is time. Do you give the Lord of your first fruits? Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." And that implies monetarily, but it also implies your time as well, your first fruits. And the second, what about your gifts? Is there a gift that God's given you that you're withholding from him? It's his, right? James 1:17 says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning," right? What about, do you finish what you start? This one's a tough one, right? Do we finish what we start? Do we see it through all the way? Or when the going gets tough, do we get going? Which one? Do we see it through? When God calls us to something, do we see it all the way through? Do we finish it? Mary was there through Jesus' greatest suffering. And are we there for people when they are suffering at their worst situationally? Are we available for them? And I will say that I watched a lot of you guys yesterday in that prayer room over our sweet Mary Smith, praying over her, and I was like, our ladies are there for people at their worst situationally. They are. I watched it with my own two eyes, and it made me weep, literally. And just watching you guys practically love each other is just something like, it's just such a reflection of the Lord. So thank you for that. Thank you for being such an example. 1 Thessalonians 1:11 through 12 says, "Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So she wasn't wavering. Mary Magdalene wasn't wavering. When the disciples dispersed at the cross, this group of women stayed. Isn't that encouraging for us as women? They stayed. Even after the Sabbath and the law that she rested, she was up early to finish preparing his body. It must have been so important for her to do that labor of love for her. And we stay close to what we love. We do. We stay close to what we love. A.W. Tozer said this, "Oh God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need for further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire, O God, the triune God. I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, so that I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from this misty lowland where I have wandered so long. My second point is she is careful with her words, and it says she opens her mouth with wisdom. So Mary Magdalene, she listened and she followed. And the only mentions of Mary Magdalene speaking are just a few. And that's important, too, for us to know. The first time we see that she spoke, I'm sure she spoke other times, but this is what's recorded, is she spoke to the angel when he asked her why she was weeping at the tomb. The second time was when Jesus asked her the same question, and when she recognized his voice, she said, Rabboni, which that means my great master. And then the third time we know that she spoke is when she went to go tell the disciples that he is risen, right? That she had seen the Lord Jesus. Those are three really good times to talk. And as women, we talk way too much, right? How many words do we use a day? Who knows? 20,000. All right. That's just like the average. Some of us more, I'm just saying. So we tend to chatter too often, but here we see a woman who hears, she heeds, she follows the wise wisdom of the Lord. And that's important. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back, right? Sometimes it's better to keep quiet. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. What would happen if we served, we listened, and then we spoke? What would happen rather than speaking first? It'd be like a whole different world, right? If we would just do those things. Tozer said this, the world is waiting to hear an authentic voice, a voice from God, not an echo of what others are doing and saying, but an authentic voice. So Mary Magdalene, she brought good news. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. What kind of news are we bringing? What kind of news are we bringing? Jesus' final words to his disciple, right? In Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Who can you today share Jesus with? Are you obeying the Great Commission? Am I obeying the Great Commission? And do you feel inadequate to do that? I know I do feel inadequate at times to do that. But when you think about this demon-possessed woman who is freed by the love and grace of Jesus, and she was used to bring the greatest news of all times. Do you think he can't use you? I mean, think about that. What makes her so different, and what makes her so different, so special, is that she remained so close to Jesus. And so if you want to be different and you want to be special and you want to bring the greatest news of all time, remain close to Jesus. That's the recipe, the instruction, is remain close to Jesus. And then you get these incredibly special jobs of delivering the best news ever, right? Jonathan Butler wrote that the song taken from Psalm 95, and I know you know it, but it says, down at your feet, O Lord, is the most high place. And in your presence, Lord, I seek your face. There is no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. I am amazed at your glory, embraced by your mercy. O Lord, I live to worship you. So she is wise and kind. It says, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So she went, Mary Magdalene, she went to the disciples in joy and not condemnation, right? She could have. Sometimes I thought about this week is, well, what if Mary Magdalene might have been like a reaction I might have had, I hope I wouldn't have had this reaction, but I might have had this reaction. What if she went running to tell the disciples and she said, like, while you guys were in hiding, I was at the tomb, and guess what? Jesus talked to me. Like, what? I mean, you know, you can imagine that maybe you'd have this like fleshly moment, but not Mary Magdalene. She didn't think like, hey, I'm pretty special. And she didn't like wait and ponder like, he talked to me. She didn't wait. She just obeyed. She went running because it was such good news, right? She didn't take pride in that. She knew where she had come from. So she ran to tell the good news. When I was a little girl, I loved to tell people their presents before they opened them. And this is terrible quality I had. And they'd be like, I remember being like 4 years old and my mom buying my dad like a record. And he's tearing off the wrapping paper. And I'm like, it's a record. And it's like, I was so excited by the news. I just had to be the first one to share it. And what if we were that excited about Jesus? Like, I got salvation. I'm telling you about salvation. And I'm running through my neighborhood, like telling people this good news that I hold, that I possess. This good news. And like, what am I doing not telling people? What am I doing? Are we running through our neighborhoods sharing with people? Are we talking to people at the grocery store, at the coffee shop? Are we sharing this great news? We have the best news ever. And Mary Magdalene, she has a ministry because of that that is eternal. And so do you. We have a ministry that's eternal. That's really cool news. And if we look at life through eternity's eyes, we'd be so much more effective here on earth, right? If we just live our testimony, if we let people see the good news in us, if we run around just sharing our own testimony, not to give it glory, but to give God the glory for the great work he's done in you and me, because he is so good and so faithful, and it's just this amazing treasure that we hold and not meant to be held in secret, right? Like, tell them while they're ripping off the paper, it's salvation, you know? One day, a lady criticized D.L. Moody for his methods of evangelism in attempting to win people to the Lord. Moody's reply was, I agree with you. I don't like the way I do it either. Tell me how you do it. And the lady replied, oh, I don't do it. And Moody retorted, then I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. I think that's pretty practical. John MacArthur said, Satan continues his efforts to make sin less offensive, heaven less appealing, hell less horrific, and the gospel less urgent. So don't underestimate the power of the gospel. Be available, be passionate about souls. And I guarantee if you're available and passionate that God's going to use you. And I think back again to this Thomas in Africa and caring so much more about the soul of his lost neighbor than his own physical well-being. And I dwell just on that perspective alone. Billy Graham said, sin is the second most powerful force in the universe, for it sent Jesus to the cross. Only one force is greater, and it's the love of God. So Mary Magdalene, she didn't have to be selfish with her knowledge. She wasn't selfish. And we possess, again, that good news today. And I thought, do you guys remember in church the other day when Pastor John was saying, like, you know, one of an acronym for greatest of all time is GOAT. People would say, you're GOAT, you're the GOAT. And that means like you're the greatest of all time. He talked about that the other day. And I thought, oh, I'm totally going to add to that. But I'm going to say the GNOTE, the greatest news of all time. So go share the GNOTE. There he goes. Billy Graham also said this. We are the Bibles the world is reading. We are the creeds the world is needing. We are the sermons the world is heeding. So in conclusion, again, Proverbs 31, 25b through 26 says, she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And I think if these three things we can learn and apply tonight to our heart, I think our testimony will be just compelling for us to share the gospel. So be careful with our words, be wise and be kind, and be heavenly minded. And when we possess these three things, then his power is within us, and then we can be women who are transformed, conformed, informed, and adorned in Jesus, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, I pray that we would not just dismiss, Lord, the gospel message, Lord, just something that we've maybe heard often, Lord, and so we don't think it's quite as important as some other things to learn, Lord, but it is the most important thing, God. It's the gospel, Lord, that rescued our souls, God, your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so tonight, I pray for us to be gospel-minded, God. I pray as we finish up this evening and go into group time, God, that we would think about those neighbors that we have. Can we be like Thomas, God? Can we care so much that our neighbor's souls are saved, so much more than protecting our little selves, God? And so, Lord, I ask that you would press on our hearts deeply, Lord, the things that we need to share with people, Lord, just you, sharing you, Lord, the greatest news of all time, Lord. And so, God, I praise you for these women. I thank you for them. I ask, Lord, and invite you to the rest of the evening. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.